Today's Bible reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 18. Treasures in jars of clay. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have his ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our own mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Here ends today's Bible reading.
Hello, St. Nick's. This weekend, as well as videoing this sermon, I will be preaching to a breathing, living congregation, something neither Will nor I have done since the 15th of March. Over the last few months, we've brought you God's word from lots of different places. Through our sermons and our thoughts for the week, we've come from Will's allotment, his shed, my sofa, our studies, our gardens, my kitchen table, Donnington Castle. And then as restrictions have eased, we've recorded from the pews, from the chancel, and from St. Mary's in Speen as well. But today we begin the road to some kind of normality as some of us meet together in church for the first time. But our three ways of meeting on a Sunday are less about the 8 a.m., the 10 a.m., and the 6, and more about being on site here, online, and in the post. And these three ways of being church are likely to continue for some time to come. We've been living through and are still living through astonishing, unprecedented times. Today we're continuing our sermon series entitled Fruit That Will Last, and we're looking at faithfulness. Faithfulness is the quality of being faithful, being loyal, absolutely sticking with a person or a group or a cause or a belief without wavering. Interestingly, one of the definitions said that to be faithful is used more often about dogs than it is about people. And I certainly know that my husband Paul would count our dog as one of his most faithful friends. In the context of the fruit of the Spirit, the word used for faithfulness has the idea of holding fast or steady to our faith, to what we said we would do, to being reliable. It's, of course, as with all the fruit, rooted in God's character. It's a key aspect of who God is. We let him down so much, yet he remains faithful to us, full of compassion and forgiveness, and never changing in that. Where do you find yourself as lockdown eases in terms of your faithfulness to God and your faithfulness to his people? Has your faith deepened due to the experience of the last 3 months? Have you found God to be faithful? Perhaps you thought more about matters of faith in recent weeks than you ever have in your life before. Or perhaps your faith has been challenged and you feel that right now you're on shifting sand. Perhaps you've longed to be back in church with God's people. But maybe for others, you've discovered you can take it or leave it. In the early days of lockdown, we preached from Hebrews, where the writer talks about not giving up the habit of meeting together. We have now well and truly got out of that habit. We all have. Paul really cares for the Corinthian church that he planted. But they have lost heart. They are wavering in their faithfulness to Paul and to the gospel itself. In the first 3 chapters of 2 Corinthians, Paul calls them back to being a God-centered church. And he reminds them that God has given them a ministry of reaching others with the gospel. And so at the beginning of chapter 4, and it'd be really helpful if you could follow in your Bibles, Paul urges them not to lose heart. That means don't become weary, don't become discouraged, stay faithful. I believe this passage has 3 things to say to us about faithfulness: how we can make sure that we remain faithful to God, even as we come to him today, maybe discouraged, weary, or worn out in our life and in our faith. The first is that to remain faithful, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. As Christians, we get to share in God's work in our world. How amazing is that? The job that we have, the ministry he involves us in, is to speak out the good news of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a job for all of us in our own unique place that God has placed us, our work, our family, our friends, our neighbours. But we only have this ministry because of the mercy of God, because of God's kindness that we heard of last week. That God loves us and appeared to us in Jesus, who saved us through his death on the cross, who rose again. He saved us not because we had done good things, but purely because he is full of mercy. It's all about what God has done for us in Jesus, and we need to fix our eyes on him. The mercy and the message come from him. And in God's mercy, he wants to use us to tell others of the gospel. And in verse 2, he says we are to do so simply, explaining the gospel in what we say and how we live, without any tricks or attempts to manipulate people. And we must do so being true to the word of God, not trying to distort God's word to make things more acceptable. Last week, I watched a documentary about the prosperity gospel in America. The key message to non-Christians is that God loves them. He wants to give them health and wealth. And God thinks that they are awesome. Of course, it's totally true that we have the good news of God's love. And that God has made people amazingly. But we fail them if we miss out the fact that the good news is about his love for them in Jesus. That Jesus died for them, and that a response is required by turning away from wrong things and believing in what Jesus has done for them. To remain faithful to God is to keep our eyes on Jesus, what he has done for us, and the good news we have to tell. And it's not about us. That's the message of verse 5. We proclaim Jesus. It's about him, Jesus Christ as Lord. The human Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ crucified and the one who triumphed over death, to whom everyone will be accountable. He is the sovereign Lord. And it's personal too. Is he my Lord? Is he your Lord? We are more likely to remain faithful if we know who we are following, read the Bible, pray. We're less likely to lose heart if we keep our eyes on Jesus and the gospel that we share, the word of God who came to live among us, who lets us know what God is like, who knows what it is to be human, to cry, to laugh, to suffer, to be under stress, who died and rose again and sheds light into the darkness of our lives and our hearts. Stay close to him. Stay faithful. Let's keep our eyes on him. So to remain faithful, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. And to remain faithful, we need to keep our ears open to the facts. Hear the reality. Having talked of his ministry and the knowledge of God's glory in Jesus that he has, Paul says that it all takes place in the context of suffering and opposition and weakness. In verse 13, Paul quotes from Psalm 116. The psalmist knew the reality of suffering and tears. He speaks honestly of them, but also believes and trusts in God. And Paul says that despite the difficulties of his ministry, he has that same spirit of faith as the psalmist did, and he goes on speaking the word of God. But the Bible tells us that it will be tough, and we must be under no illusion. And trying to share the gospel will also be tough, with our message not being received. Verses 3 and 4 tell us that people will not be able to grasp the gospel. There is a battle going on, a real spiritual battle with the evil one, trying to keep people in the dark, keep their minds blind to the light of the gospel that would help them to see Jesus. There are powers at work opposing our efforts and our own growth in faith. Satan is always seeking to hold back the work of God, and that is a fact we must remember. The other fact is that we are weak. God knows that. But thankfully, our weakness is part of his plan of action. The treasure of the gospel, of gazing at the glory of God in Jesus, is, verse 7 says, kept in jars of clay. Clay jars were found in virtually every home in the ancient Middle East. Often treasure was hidden in clay jars because the jars themselves had little value or beauty and so hid their contents. Clay jars were inexpensive and easily broken. Perhaps it's not very flattering for us to be described as clay jars, ordinary, nothing attractive about them, designed not to be noticed and weak. That's so different from our culture today, where image, beauty, strength, fame, and being noticed are everything. But there is supposed to be a contrast between the treasure inside the jar and the jar itself. Our weakness is God's plan. He knows that we are pretty hopeless, but he chose to set things up so that he works in our weakness, and so that it is clear that the power belongs to God, not us. And this principle about power and weakness is illustrated in verses 8 and 9. We are hard pressed on every side, but not completely crushed. We are perplexed, but not in total despair. We are persecuted by people, but not abandoned by God. We are struck down, but not destroyed altogether. Paul knew the reality of this later in chapter 11. He describes his imprisonments, flogging, beatings, shipwrecks, hunger and thirst, and his list goes on. The weakness provides the platform for God to step in. God displays his glory in pain and struggle and suffering. Perhaps you find yourself thinking, well, in that case, Lord, I'd rather you didn't display your glory through me and I could avoid the suffering bit. I'd rather be a beautiful glass vase than a clay jar. That we experience suffering often causes those who are not Christians to ask, how can we go on believing in a God who allows suffering and sadness, and indeed the coronavirus? Those are very real questions right now that I know people among us are having to field. A friend of mine lost her husband to cancer when he was only in his early 50s. And she was asked these questions, why do you carry on believing in God? Her answer was that if she abandoned God now, at this time when she needed him the most, she would indeed have lost everything. We often ask God for things that he has never promised us in the first place, and then wonder why our prayers are unanswered. We need to turn our ear to the fact the Bible does not promise a life free of suffering and struggle, but it does promise that God will be with us and that he will never, ever leave us. Many of us, especially now, may be feeling worn out, weak, hard-pressed, or fearful. I know I've felt some of those in the last 3 months. Yet we can also say that God has been faithful to us, that he hasn't abandoned us. And the fact we see here is that he can use us in our weakness. Paul hammers it home in verses 10 to 12, where death and life travel together in our lives. And here where he speaks of the death of Jesus, he's not just referring to his death on the cross, but his journey through suffering towards death. Paul is saying that weakness and suffering are the characteristics of serving Jesus. God uses weak people, clay jars, to bring the light and life of the gospel to others. So if we want to serve Jesus for the long haul, we need to open our ears to these facts. Otherwise, we will not remain faithful, but will give up at the first hurdle. And finally, to remain faithful, we need to have one foot in the future. Not one foot in the grave, which was what I nearly said, which means just being close to death, but one foot in the future. Verse 14 says that we know that the one who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us with him. What we experience now will not go on forever. If you are a Christian today, you have a glorious future guaranteed. It's a reason to keep going. And as verse 16 says, it's a reason not to lose heart. The sad truth is that none of us are getting any younger. I'm now at the stage in life where the optician or the doctor will say, well, of course, at your age, ... And it acts as a reminder that my body, which has served me very well, won't go on forever. Our bodies start to creak, go wrinkly, bits ache. Other bits pack up altogether. Other parts need some help. Paul says that outwardly we are wasting away, and he meant his body, his mind, and his spirit. He knew what all that was like, but yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. On the inside, God is carrying out an amazing reservation project through the work of his Holy Spirit in us. Outward afflictions on the one hand, daily inward renewal on the other. Our troubles in this world have a purpose. They are achieving for us an eternal glory, and so we need to have one foot in the future. There is no way that Paul's troubles were light and momentary. They were there constantly throughout his ministry. But looking through the lens of the future glory he was looking forward to, he could see that they were passing problems. We could not call the troubles caused by COVID-19 as light and momentary. People will be affected forever through financial problems, through bereavement, and ongoing health issues. We know that there is not going to be an easy recovery in terms of our economy, and the impact is likely to go on for years. We don't know how it will have affected church life in the long term. But with one foot in the future, with our hearts and minds on eternity, we can say with confidence that all our troubles in this life will seem to have lasted but a moment. The glory will be out of all proportion to the troubles. It is worth holding on and being faithful. Our focus needs to be not on what we see, but on what we can't see, as verse 18 advises. Because all that we can see is, believe it or not, temporary. But what is unseen is, in fact, what goes on forever. That's hard to believe in this world that seems so real, so concrete, so in your face. Let what Paul says here reorient the way you live and look at the world. Pay special attention to what you cannot see, and remember that all that we go through will be worth it. For God is at work in those of us who follow him, storing up eternal glory. Stay close. Stay faithful. By keeping our eyes on Jesus, by opening our ears to the facts that we see here, and by placing one foot in the future. My friends, do not lose heart. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you are a faithful God. And we thank you for all the things we see here. Please help us to keep our eyes on Jesus, to keep our ears open to the fact of our lives. And Lord, to keep one foot in the future, that our lives may be reoriented in that way. We thank you that you who call us are faithful. Amen. God bless.